Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ernie Pyle World War II Museum Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Steve Snyder. He is here to talk to us about his book, Shot Down, The True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the Crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. Steve, welcome to the Ernie Pyle World War II Museum Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you spending some time with us today to talk about your book, Shot Down. And, you know, anytime we have a guest on, or especially an author, we like to allow you to kind of tell the listeners in your own words, the author's words, what this book is about.
Okay. Well, my father was a B-17 pilot in the 306 bomb group stationed at Thurlow, England. And the book goes into detail about what happened to him and his crew after their plane was shot down over occupied Belgium on February 8th of 1944. The first half of the book builds up to the day that the plane was shot down, and then the second half of the book is all about what happens afterwards. And it's not just about my father, but it goes into detail about what happened to each member of the crew and about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them.
Yes, and if I remember correctly, there's about 10 individuals that you write about. Is that correct?
Yes, a B-17 had a 10-man crew. My dad was the first pilot, and as such, the commander of the plane and the crew. There were four officers, the pilot, co-pilot, navigator, and bombardier, and then there were six enlisted men who were mainly gunners. My dad's plane was named after my oldest sister, Susan Ruth Snyder, who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas.
Yeah, very.
And on
very
February 8th, his plane was shot down by two German Focke-Wulf 190 fighters. But both those fighters were shot down at the same time. One was piloted by Siegfried Merrick. His plane crashed and he died in the plane. And the other was piloted by Hans Berger, who was able to bail out. And made it through the war. And during my research, I actually found Hans Berger. And fortunately for me, we became friends. He could speak English fluently because he became a translator after the war. And he gave me some wonderful insight that it was what it was like to go up against the Eighth Air Force.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine when you have some, you know, it's one thing to be able to have documentation research, but then it's something else to be able to actually talk to that individual and really kind of get a feel for what they were going through as best one can.
Well, the entire book is based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the events that took place. Hans Berger, the German pilot, my dad and other members of his crew that survived. Of the 10-man crew, five came home, but five did not.
Yeah.
And then also a tremendous amount of testimony by members of the Belgium underground who risked their lives, not only their lives, but the lives of their family and friends to try to aid my dad and other members of his crew after they bailed out, which was extremely dangerous because not only did they risk their lives, but the lives of their family and friends. And if they were the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, they'd be arrested, you know, sent to prison, tortured, and either shot or sent to a concentration camp. And some of the people that helped my dad and other members of his crew met that fate.
Yeah. Now, if I remember correctly, and you kind of alluded to this, some of the 10 died in the crash. Some of them were captured and sent to camps. And then some of them were able to kind of disappear, escape, whatever word you want to use, and found their way back to England.
Right, something different happened
To
each
all
member
of them.
of his crew,
Yeah.
but anything that could happen to a bomber crew happened to my dad's crew. Fortunately, my dad was one of the five who made it back home after he
Sure.
bailed out. He came down in some trees and his parachute got hung up on the branches and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple of Belgian men, Henri Franken and Raymond Durvin, came to his rescue before the Germans got to him. They held him down from the trees, and this happened early in the afternoon. They thought it was too dangerous to try to move him during daylight, so they told him to hide because there were German patrols combing the area. And so he hunkered down and hid till nighttime, and then they came back and got him and took him to the Durvin farmhouse. And he stayed there just one night because they thought it was too dangerous for him to stay there any longer than that with those German patrols combing the area. And so the next night, a Belgium customs officer, Paul Tilquin, came in a tandem bicycle to take him to a safer location. And after that, my dad moved from place to place to place. He might spend one night, he might spend 6 weeks. It all depended on how brave the Belgian people were who lived there, and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. And as I mentioned, the Belgian people who hid my dad were an amazing people. My dad never forgot them, stayed in touch with them after he came back to the States. They would, and he went over to Belgium and met some of them after the war. They exchanged Christmas cards, and I've become friends with several of the grandchildren of those people that hit my dad. I've been to Belgium 8 times doing
Wow.
research, and it's amazing that so many locations that are involved in the shutdown story are still there today, so you can go visit where history took place.
Oh, that's great. Now, Steve, I'm sure that, as a kid and you were growing up, you kind of heard these stories that your dad had talked about, maybe not the whole story at any given time, but pieces of it. Did you think you knew the whole story, or did you know there was a lot missing when you started to write this and then you got into the research of it?
Excellent question. Growing up, I knew the basics of my dad's World
Sure.
War II history. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed with England with the
Right.
8th Air Force. Flew bombing missions and were shot down and missing in action. But it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I really had the time to go and research in more detail. My parents had kept a tremendous amount of material from the war years. And there were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about
Wow.
his plane being shot down, which is absolutely riveting. That's in the book. And the other were all the letters that my dad wrote to my mother before he was shot down while he was stationed in England. And I sat down one day after I retired and started reading those letters, and I became absolutely fascinated. My dad, he was very candid in these letters. He talked about what bombing missions was like, what life was like on the air base, what life was like in London and England at the time, escapades of him and his crew. And that I just became fascinated with the story, became my passion. I started doing all this research, and finally, 3 years into my research, I decided that the story was so unique and so compelling that it needed to be told. So I wrote a book.
Yeah,
And it
no,
changed my life. Now I go all over the United States attending air shows, signing copies of the book, doing PowerPoint presentations to all sorts of groups, and it's just been wonderful. It's really became my second career, I guess, in a
yeah,
way.
that's great. Now, was your dad like a lot of the other World War II veterans that didn't talk a lot about what happened, or was he a little bit more forthcoming with the stories?
Well, my dad was very proud about his service, but like
Sure.
most World War II veterans, he didn't talk a lot about the war. As I say, probably a little bit more than a lot of World War II
Sure.
veterans, because when I travel all around the United States, I meet, just hundreds of thousands of people who know absolutely nothing or very
Right.
little about their veteran because they never talked about it.
Right.
But in 1989, this Belgium organization, the Duty to Remember, erected a memorial to my dad and his crew, and he went over with the other three members of the crew that were still surviving or still survived. And there he was reunited with all these Belgian people who hid him and revisited all these places where he was hidden. And that brought it all back. And 5 years later, in 1994, I made my first trip with my parents. And that's when it became personal for me because I went around and saw all these places and met some of
Sure.
his helpers who were no longer with us. And so that's when my interest really, peaked, I guess. But it wasn't until I said, like I said, after I retired that I really had the time to
Sure.
go in more detail. But I couldn't have not could not have written the book if it wasn't for two Belgian people. Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war, and they were greatly affected by it. They saw firsthand atrocities committed by the Nazis against their family and friends. And later in life, they became local historians, and they interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the Belgium Underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew, and they documented their testimony. And they gave me unbelievably detailed information that would have been lost forever without their dedicated research. So I really owe them a huge debt.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, as you know, that history, unless it's captured, is going to be gone forever in that. And so we appreciate you taking the time to study and travel and really write to capture some of these stories that otherwise will go on unnoticed, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
another thing about you mentioned there were two guys that evaded capture. My dad, moved from place to place to
Yeah.
place. The tail gunner just stayed with one family the entire time. But finally, my dad got tired of hiding. It was very stressful for him because, he was almost discovered several times, which was talked about in the book. And
Sure.
word came on June 6th of 1944 that the Allies had landed in Normandy, and he decided to get back into the fight. Unlike most airmen, he was in the army for a year in the infantry, so he knew how to fight on the ground. So he decided to join the French resistance and start sabotaging German convoys, which was a, depending how you look on it, an amazingly brave thing to do or amazingly stupid thing to do. I guess it, both ways applied. But
Sure.
he fought with the French resistance for a couple months.
Oh, excellent. Steve, what surprised you the most in the writing and the researching of this book?
Several things. I think, I loved my dad. I had a
Sure.
lot of respect for my father, but really delving into, his war years, I was just amazed at his bravery and courage. And he was missing in action for 7 months and then making the decision to join the French resistance
Right.
and fight against the Germans. He could have died fighting, or
Sure.
if they had captured him, they would have shot him on the spot as a terrorist.
Right.
So I mean, I just gained a much deeper respect for my father. And then also about all those Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help these downed airmen. It's just their courage was just incredible. And then really just the overall sacrifice of the men who were in the 8th Air Force. There were more men killed in the 8th Air Force than the entire Marine Corps fighting in the Pacific during World War II. 26,000 men were killed. And another 28,000 men became prisoners of war after their planes were knocked out of the sky, either by German fighters or anti-aircraft fire. And the most dangerous duty assignment in the United States military during World War II was being a combat crewman in the 8th Air Force.
Wow.
So I just gained an amazing amount of respect for those guys who went up day after day,
Oh, absolutely.
not knowing if it'd be their last day on Earth. And
Yeah.
really, the respect for all the people who fought in World War II. So I think those are the biggest things I appreciated or gained knowledge about. And then also the amazing thing of becoming friends with Hans Berger, the German
Sure.
pilot. Getting to know him was one of the most highlights of my life, I have to say, because all the my dad knew and the Air Force knew is that he was shot down by two German Focke-Wulf fighters, and that's all I thought I'd ever know. And here I found this guy could speak English, and I took two trips to Munich, Germany, to meet him and get to know him, and so that was really a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, very fascinating. Was it hard to get information with the research for this book, or was it more easily available than you thought?
Well, that's one of the conclusions I came to writing the book is that I had so much information, detailed information that I had to write a book. I had the advantage of, my talking to my dad and going to Belgium with my dad and, getting a lot from him. But then the other four members of the crew that came back, had written accounts and letters and things that they wrote. And some interviews, and then with all the information that Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot provided to me, I just have an overwhelming amount of information. So the story had to be told. And every time I go to Belgium, I learn something new about the story that I didn't know before. My last trip was just June of this of 2025, and Jacques Lalot. He's always looking for stuff. He's an amazing detective, if you want to say that. But he found another farmhouse that my dad stayed in right before he went over the Belgian border into France to meet up with the French resistance, and he took me to and we saw. So it's always exciting to go back there, and also meet with like I mentioned earlier, grandchildren of people who hid my dad, and I have so many lifelong friends that I made over the 50 years, no, 1994, well, 40 years
40
since
years.
I've been going to Belgium, and so it's just wonderful.
You know, and I would have to assume it was probably, and maybe not, I don't know, I don't want to assume anything, it gets you in trouble, but you know, going back to some of these farmhouses and some places that your dad was being hid in, I would assume was maybe a little emotional for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in houses and rooms and farmhouses and people's homes in the rooms where my dad was hidden. One time as I went to this one house, I was taking pictures outside, and the man who lived there opened the second story window and asked me if he could help us, kind of wondering why we were taking pictures of his house. And the man who lived there, Maurice Bayou, during the war, he and his wife Ghislaine, he had taken a lot of pictures while my dad was with him, back in 1944. So I was showing him all these pictures, and there was one of my dad inside the house, and he looks at it and he goes, "That wall covering that's behind your dad sitting down is still there today." 70 years, 75 years later. And so he took me in the house and sat down. And so you're right, it's very emotional. And well, even more emotional are going to places where the five crew members who did not come home perished. Some absolutely tragically, after they were bailed out, because two were killed in the plane when it was attacked by the German fighters, but eight bailed out, and they met up with several other downed U.S. airmen from B-17s, and they met absolutely tragic endings, which they have memorials to, and I've broken down in tears at those memorials a couple times.
How could you not? I mean, I can only imagine just how emotional something like that would be in terms of that. Well, Steve, we're out of time here, but I wanted to say thank you for a couple of things. One is preserving the history of some of these stories that, if it wasn't for individuals like you, would be lost in time forever. But also for coming on and sharing that story with us and to our listeners. please go out and get a copy of Shot Down, the True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. You're not going to be disappointed. We only had a chance to really hit the tip of the iceberg and really just touch the beginning of the story. I would encourage you to go out and get a copy of the book. You're not going to be disappointed. And again, Steve, thank you so much for coming on, spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. It's our duty to remember.
Absolutely.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at spinquest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
If you've been injured, don't fall for big national law firms with flashy ads and empty promises. They're not from Colorado, and they don't know our courts like we do. They don't know the people or how your claim should actually be valued. Hi, I'm Ethan McQuinn, partner at Doolin McQuinn Young. My partners and I live and work in Denver. With more than 60 years combined experience, we built this firm to stay small so we can fight for you. You'll work directly with us, and we know how to win. Call for a free consultation or visit trialproven.com. Again, that's trialproven.com.